This is George M. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. We're so happy to again be with you and to bring to you a message from the Holy Scriptures. In our last two messages, we have been considering a subject first suggested by a sign which I once saw at the grave of Buffalo Bill on Lookout Mountain in Colorado, which read, "The End of the Trail." We noted that life is likened to a path or trail, and that all trails have an end. We first studied the end of the sinner's trail, which terminates in outer and eternal darkness. Then the end of the saint's or Christian's trail was examined, and we found that it has a glorious end, the Father's house in heaven, there to be forever with the Lord. Today we will deal with the end of the Savior's trail, the one who by grace makes possible the great contrast between the end of the saints and sinners' trails. We will proceed by summoning in thought several witnesses and inquiring of them where Jesus of Nazareth was last seen, that we may, if possible, discover the end of his trail. We first bring Pontius Pilate, the vacillating and unscrupulous Roman governor, to the witness stand. He is the judge who proclaimed Jesus the prisoner innocent, but who, in order to placate the rabble mob, delivered that blessed one to be crucified. We say, "Pilate, what was the last you saw and know of Jesus of Nazareth?" "After I delivered him to the guard to be crucified," replies the governor, "I personally saw him no more. However, after his death on the cross, an eminent and wealthy Jew named Joseph, I believe he was from the town of Arimathea, requested me to turn over the body of Jesus to him. This request I granted." "Was that the last contact you had with him, Pilate?" we inquired. "No. The day following his death, a delegation of the chief priests and Pharisees came to me and said, 'Sir, we remember that this deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.'" "Did you grant their request, governor?" we ask. "Yes," replies Pilate. "I said to them, 'Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can.' So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the great stone which covered its mouth with the seal of Rome, and also by setting a watch." "Then what would you say, Pilate, was the end of this man's trail?" I asked. "The sealed sepulchre, sir, that was his end." Was Pilate right? We shall see. We next call the Jewish leaders to the stand, the men of whom Pilate spake. We say, "Can you tell this audience anything about the end of the career of Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be your promised Messiah?" "Yes, we certainly can," is their prompt reply. "His disciples, in an effort to make people believe that he had risen from the dead as he had predicted he would, came by night and stole away his body while the guards were asleep." "Do you know anything about his body?" we ask. "No. Nothing, absolutely nothing," is the prompt answer. But we detect a note of insincerity in this testimony, and we inquire, "How did you ascertain these facts?" "From the soldiers, sir, the guards at the sepulchre." Still unsatisfied, I ask, "What was the statement made by the soldiers?" To this the chief priests and elders reply, "They said his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Amazed by such words, we ask, "Do you realize that such is not valid testimony? You have the effrontery to insult the intelligence of this audience by expecting them to believe that the guards in their sleep could tell that Jesus' disciples, and not ordinary grave robbers, stole the body. Also, that it was not one disciple, but several, his disciples. No court would accept what a man professes to have seen in his sleep." At this juncture, a man named Matthew comes forward and tells the real story thus. And when the chief priests were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. We next call the disciples of the Lord to testify. We ask them, Did you expect the Lord Jesus to rise from the dead? Oh, no, is their quick reply. We had trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel, but the sealed tomb seemed the end of him and the end of our faith. It could not rise to resurrection. Yes, we were slow to believe the report that he was risen, and we were filled with fear and then amazement when he appeared unto us. But what was the last you saw of him? What was the end of the trail? We inquire. It was 40 days after his resurrection, sir, during which days he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, that we had the last sight of him. 120 of his followers were on the summit of the Mount of Olives near Bethany. He had just told us that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost was come upon us, and that we should be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Then, as he lifted up his hands in blessing, we saw that his face was above ours. His feet were off the ground. He was rising higher and higher, until the clouds hid him from our view. So far as our eyes could see, the clouds were the end of his trail. But, as we were all gazing up steadfastly into heaven, two men in white apparel suddenly appeared and stood by us and inquired why we were gazing up into heaven. Then they told us where he had gone. Said they, This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, according to the testimony of these two men in white apparel, surely heavenly beings, his trail ended in heaven. To this we reply, Yes, this is very interesting. But do we have any corroborative testimony? Has anyone actually seen the Lord Jesus in heaven, into which the two men said he had gone? To this, Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, replies, Yes, such a witness can be produced. He then summons a young man named Stephen, who had the unique distinction and honor of being the first Christian martyr. As Stephen takes the stand, we ask, Stephen, did you see the Lord Jesus after his ascension? Yes, I certainly did, is his quick reply. Where and under what circumstances? We ask him. Sir, it was after I had delivered my message before the Sanhedrin. In it I had, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, charged my nation with persistent unbelief of God, culminating in their being the betrayers and murderers of the Just One, their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on me with their teeth. Not heeding their murderous purposes toward me, I looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. As they rushed unto me, I said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Stephen, why do you think he was standing? Do you not think, he replies, that it was to receive my spirit? For as the stones were crushing my body, I said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and he did. Then you can establish the fact that the trail of the Blessed One ended in the glory of God in heaven. Yes, yes, absolutely, declares the martyr. We are not left merely to the testimony of men as to the end of the Savior's trail. We have also the testimony of God, the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter by the Spirit declared, This same Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, A few days later, speaking to the Jewish leaders, he said concerning Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. In the wonderful epistle to the Hebrews, four times it is asserted they sat down in heaven. We cite but the first, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And finally, the apostle of love on the Isle of Patmos, by the Spirit uttered wondrous words, of which we quote but a few. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, for ever and ever. Yes, dear listener, the end of the Savior's trail was not the cross of shame, not Joseph's new tomb, but the throne of God. Thank God, we have a risen, living, exalted Savior, and one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, and one who someday will return and receive his own unto himself, and then to reign as King of Kings. I wonder if you know this Savior. You may, for he offers himself to you. God grant that you may accept him as your Savior, that the end of your trail may be the glory of heaven, there to be forever with the Lord. And so we have seen in these three messages the end of the sinner's trail, how dark and desolate, the end of the saint's trail, the glory of God, the Father's house, and the glory of the Savior's trail, the glory of God and his throne upon which he sits. We thank you for listening, and now will you please listen for an announcement to follow.
Sure.